Well, I just present you to this the tutorial of Jenny Huygens, correct spell. Mm-hmm. And because I have also to introduce the other one, the other tutorial. So thank you very much to come here today. So Jenny Huygens, as you can see, is in the Technical University of Munich in the Germany in the software and system engineering. I will not read all his short CV because you have on the program, and so he has a lot of experience in this field, and it's a very important field in nowadays and in the future. So as you are not so much participants in the tutorial, I think if you, on the other hand, you are going to have a very good interaction. So, mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Thank you much. Okay, so thank you for the introduction, and then we can just start. I think a couple of people are still coming, but we should get started anyway. So yeah, as you said, this tutorial is about using the unified modeling language for critical systems development. And I will say generally a little bit about some methods and the notation extension of UML, which one can use here, and also a little bit about the tool support. A bit about my background. I'm leading the Competence Center for IT Security at the Software and Systems Engineering Chair in Munich. And well, we've been having extensive collaboration with industry, on which this talk is also based. Previously, I did my PhD in computer science and a master's in mathematics. And well, I have a couple of publications on the subject, and there's also a book on this, and I will say a bit more about that. And this tutorial is actually part of a series of tutorials, and so it would be nice if you have any comments on the presentation or on the content of the tutorial. If you could, like during the tutorial, could just fill out these questionnaires, so I can still improve the presentation. So firstly, some motivation. What is the problem here? So the problem in general is that it's very difficult to develop critical systems correctly, where with critical I mean dependable or security critical, real time, and so on. We can see that this is difficult, obviously, because many systems have been developed and also deployed in practice, and also use which do not satisfy their criticality requirements. And sometimes this has led to quite spectacular failures. So this is clear that this is a problem. Now the question is, why is it a problem? And the point is that in practice, if you have given unbounded resources and time and money, then it's probably, you could probably make a system as reliable or as secure as you want to, but in practice, of course, the situation is that this is not the case, but there's always a conflict between quality and cost, because companies have to make money with their products. The problem is that although there has been a lot of successful scientific work on things like formal methods to improve the software and to avoid software bugs, the problem is that these are not used so much in industry because they seem to be too expensive, because you have to train people in using them, then you maybe have to construct formal specifications and so on. And this is sort of the starting point for this kind of research. So the idea is now to instead use a specific formal methods which people have to learn and where people have to construct specifications just for using this, but instead use a notation which is known in industry, which people know already and where they may make their specifications already, and then try to use that for the purpose of analyzing the systems. But firstly, the general idea is that of model-based development. And one can see this in the general framework of computer science as the idea that starting from early on, people always try to enable people to program computers in a way which is even always closer to the human intuition. So in the beginning, we started when we had to still program in machine code, and this obviously is not very intuitive to the human mind. Then we got higher level programming languages and so on. And now models are just one more step in that direction. So visual specifications, as in the UML, are seen to be more intuitive and closer to the human intuition than program text in a programming language. And this is also the goal, then, to get closer to the human intuition. And the hope is that if you worry about this kind of human-computer interaction interface, then this way you can increase the quality of the code, but still keep the time to market and the costs bounded. And in that context now, if you now worry specifically about developing critical systems, then you can exploit this process in a way that, if you say that firstly people create models, and then in the second step from the models you get the code, either by code generation or, if that's not possible, by manual coding, then you can make use of these artifacts in order to try to prevent failures or bugs in the software. And so the goal is then, of course, to take the models and to verify them against the requirements firstly, and in the second step, unless you are actually able to get the code by code generation, in which case you only have to make sure that the code generator actually does what it's supposed to be to do. If that's not the case, then you can still generate test sequences from the models and make sure that the code actually does what the models say that it should do. But of course, this is the general picture, and this you can do with any kind of notation which allows you to describe these requirement models in a sufficiently precise way. But now, the point is, why are we using the unified modeling language here? And this is something which I already mentioned earlier. The motivation here is that the advantage of UML is that so many people in practice are already using this notation. So you could say that in principle it's the de facto standard industrial modeling, specifically of course for object-oriented systems, but you can also use it for systems that are not object-oriented. If you're able to partition your system in some way into components, and then you just worry about this component level and you just don't use the object-oriented features of UML. Then secondly, if you want to analyze these models for critical requirements using tool support, then the models have to be sufficiently precisely defined to start with, because otherwise you will not be able to create a tool which automatically does this analysis. And this is, in the UML, this is actually to a sufficient degree fulfilled, this precision in definition, although one has to say that, this depends on the point of view maybe, so it's only relatively precisely defined, meaning that the UML notation is defined using English language in the specification document, and while at some places people use logical formula also in this document, but it's not like a complete formal semantics for the UML, it's not officially present. And so if you want to provide tool support which also analyzes the models for behavioral aspects, then you may have to define your own formal semantics for part of UML, and this is actually what we've been doing also. So that's maybe not perfect there, but given the kind of the size of the user community, it's really as much as you can ask for, because defining formal semantics of model of languages, either programming languages or specification languages, is just not a very popular task. And then lastly, an advantage of UML is that there are many tools available for it, starting with tools which allow you to, of course, to draw the specifications. There are also tools which allow you to to simulate or to get a certain degree of code generation and so on. You also have a standardized interface to exchange models between these tools, and which also allow you to exchange the models between the tools and between your own tools. And so this is really, from that point of view, it's really a good situation to start with. And then, okay, if we want to use the UML in this context to develop critical systems, to use it as a notation here, then firstly we can wonder whether it's possible to adapt the UML to the specific critical systems application domains. Then secondly, we have to wonder what the correct use of UML is in the application domains. Thirdly, while we have to resolve this conflict, which I mentioned on the last slide, which still is, that there is a slight conflict between flexibility and ambiguity, meaning that, so the reason, as I said on the previous slide, that it's not perfectly precise or formally defined, one of the reasons is that some people that are UML practitioners actually prefer to have the UML to be imprecise at some point, because this allows you to, in early stages of the development process, to still not be forced to pin down your exact design decisions, but you can still leave open certain things. I mean, of course, the challenge is now to this situation to make this more precise. I mean, of course, in that sense, you a certain UML model which is used in early phases should have could be able to choose from different interpretations later. So you need some kind of refinement, some kind of notion of refinement to go from the early stages in the development to the later stages. And so the last point is that although there's already quite a lot of tool support for UML, this is so far mainly for general purposes such as drawing diagrams. And if you want to use it for a specific purpose such as critical systems development, where you want to analyze specifications for behavioral requirements, then you also need to add something there. And so these are the things that I will be talking about in this tutorial. So more specifically, the goals here are is firstly to define an extension of UML for critical systems development, which allows you to evaluate the UML specifications for weaknesses in the design. Secondly, to encapsulate established rules of prudent critical systems engineering as a checklist. Then thirdly, to make them available to developers not specialized in critical systems. Also, this should allow you to consider critical requirements from early on in the system development and within the system context. And one last point is that as a side effect in practice, this should also support certification, such as security or safety certification, because there you always need some kind of specification models and some kind of proof or and in some way that the system that you want to build or that you have built is actually fulfills its critical requirements. And by the way, so I just asked whether it's possible to have a printout of the slides. He said he would want to ask, so hopefully in the break I can organize something. Anyway, you can also get the slides from my website, and I will give you the URL in the end of the tutorial, so you don't have to write down everything that you see in the slides now, but you can get the slides later. So this UML extension, how is this supposed to work more specifically now? Firstly, the observation is that in critical systems you have recurring requirements, so certain requirements which appear a lot. So in like in security, this is confidentiality of data or integrity of data. In real time, you may have certain real time requirements such as certain data is provided within a certain time span, and so on. So these are sort of generic requirements, and it is possible to formulate them precisely enough so then that you can have a tool, let the tool check them automatically. So this is the first observation, and this is really crucial for this this whole approach, because the idea is that these requirements the user should be able to include in the UML diagrams by using so-called stereotypes, and these are labels in double acute brackets which you can include in the UML diagram at whichever place you want them to be satisfied. So we see examples for that later, but the point is just you want to be able to include these requirements as labels, and the user should not be required to formalize the requirements each time he wants to use them. And then secondly, a similar thing, if you want to analyze the models for critical requirements, this usually means that you have to sort of simulate or analyze them with respect to certain failure or adversary scenarios, depending on whether you are on the dependable or security systems. For example, in security, you have to consider a motivated adversary which may want to attack your system in certain ways, and you have to include this within your execution semantics of the UML diagram to be able to establish whether the specification fulfills the requirements with respect to this kind of adversary model. So all these concepts the user should be able to include in the UML diagram just by sticking in stereotypes. And then these stereotypes have associated constraints which will then be evaluated by the tool support offered for this approach and will be evaluated with respect to the question whether the critical requirements are actually fulfilled. And as I said already, this way you can analyze the models, but in the end, of course, what should be reliable is not the models, but the code. And as I said, you can get to the code either by automatic code generation. This works in specific cases, but in general, you may still have to do some manual coding. But in that case, you can use a test sequence generation from the models. And I will also say a little bit about that in the end of the tutorial. So, this is then what I'm planning to present in the tutorial. Firstly, give some background on UML, then explain these two different UML extensions for safety critical and security critical systems, then say what this means to provide tool support in the sense that you can use UML as a precise design technique or formal in some sense. Then say a little bit about model-based testing, tool support, and about some case studies that we've been doing with this approach. I will concentrate on safety and security here. So now it's probably good if I just ask you what you would be interested in mostly, because sufficiently many slides to just keep talking, but it's probably better for you if I make a selection and maybe if we can also get some interaction, because just having a presentation for full day presentations probably just a bit tiring. So firstly I would like to ask what your interests in the tutorial are. So firstly, and also I need to know how much background on UML I should provide. So I just want to ask you how much your own background you already have in UML. So who of you doesn't have any background at all? Just raise a hand or something. Who has some background at beginner level and who is more advanced? So okay, it's sort of a mixture. Then maybe about your working background, who is from industry here and from academia? And so Which domain are you interested in mostly of the two, security and safety, in security or more in safety? Okay. Okay, so good. Yeah, if you have any questions, you can just ask immediately, of course. And I think we will have a